We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Stort for the win. It's good.
Krzyzewski takes flight as SGA plays through the contact, banks it in on the foul.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is JD Silva. I'm here with the Uncontested Postgame Show, running it solo tonight for the first time. Thanks for joining me. As always, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast services, and we are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network in association with SI Thunder. Thank you for joining me in the stream. Joseph, I see you in here dropping comments as always. Thank you. I'll be sure to answer these questions kind of as the show goes on and in the flow of everything once we get to our takeaways tonight. Thanks again for joining me on this
Friday night.
All right, so the Thunder lose to Milwaukee. 96-89 is the final. This was a mixed bag overall, I think. Base phase, yeah. This was a mixed bag overall. I think OKC can run away with this as can leave Milwaukee and tell themselves this is a moral victory. You know, we kept it close for most of the game, and ultimately we lost, which is sort of the goal this season. Like, we want to keep our losses high. We want to be competitive. We don't want to lose 11 games in a row like the Rockets have at this point. This is also a game where a lot of our best players, I think, ended up being the reasons why we lost. Specifically, SGA, really tough night. Really tough night for SGA. He finished shooting 5 of 20 from the field, 17 points, turned the ball over twice, and was in minus 14 on the night. I think he's had a rough stretch of games in general as of late, and that's going to happen throughout this season. We had a short packet of games at the beginning of this season where he also struggled from the field, and that's going to happen whenever he's the number one option and the entire opposing defense is scheming to stop him and only him. So other guys did step up tonight. Josh Giddey had himself a super nice game, finished 6 of 12 from the field, 14 points overall, also got 12 rebounds. The guy just has a knack for being in the right spot whenever the ball comes off the rim. If a guy like Giannis and Semi Ojeleye were just banging threes off the backboard tonight. So Josh happened to be in the right spot when a lot of those came off the rim. Other guys that impressed me tonight, and honestly, the guys that brought us back into this game whenever our best players were on the bench, it was a super weird lineup. I believe it was Poku, Kenrich Williams, I think Lou Dort, and Mike Muscala, Ty Jerome also. They brought us back into this game late in the fourth because the theme of the game had been, okay, Milwaukee gets to a 20-point lead, the Thunder claw back at the end of the quarter, and it ends up being a 10-point lead. That same thing happened the first, second, and third quarter. Well, when all of our good players got sent to the bench, including Shea and Josh Giddey, Mike Muscala, Ty Jerome, Lou Dort, and even Poku, like, they picked the team up and led us to this win, I think, or led us to what was almost a win, at least. Mike Muscala finished with 14 points, 4 of 6 from three, didn't play. This is kind of why I think the Thunder lost this game. Like, we could have played players that had been performing well all night. But our goal is development, not necessarily winning every single game. So Mike went to the bench, even though he was hot. Ty Jerome went to the bench, even though he was hot too, for that short stretch of time. He finished 3 of 8 with 10 points, but was a plus 12 on the night. And Mike was a plus 14, which coincidentally are one of the only two guys who finished with a positive plus minus on the night. It makes a lot of sense whenever you saw the rest of the game. This team's just not really built to stop. And not that many teams are built to stop Giannis, but this team especially, we don't have the size to stop a guy like that. Mike has the body for it, but cannot move laterally enough to stop that, to stop him. JRE, I think JRE and Bazley, that tandem did the best job, I think. Bazley actually blocked Giannis three times tonight. Of course, I tweeted before the game a meme that was kind of slandering Darius Bazley, saying there's no way he can do an effective job on Giannis. And then he goes and blocks him three times, of course. I think Giannis also blocked Darius Bazley two or three times. So that was a fun back and forth they had going on. While we're on Darius Bazley, he's such a mixed bag. I've actually liked what I've seen from him on the defensive end for the last 7 or 8 games, I think. I think he's just using his athleticism in a more direct way. Like, he's not just flinging his body all over the court. He's jumping and trying to be dominant on the offensive glass, the defensive glass. He's running the fast break whenever he needs to. And he did a fair job against Giannis tonight, the 2-time MVP. But the problem with him is that he can't find consistency on offense. Sometimes his shot looks good. Sometimes he's driving into the paint, doing a couple moves to fake out his guy and pass to a guy on the outside. But again, there's also nights like tonight where he finishes 2 of 7, turns the ball over once. Like I said, does get 3 blocks, but only has 4 points on the night, and he played 33 minutes, which was second on the team, just behind Shea at 35 minutes. So he's out there for a long time. He's trying hard on defense, but I don't know how he translates offensively in a consistent way. I don't know what he does to solidify his role on this team moving forward, to be honest. We'll see. You know, a lot of the guys in the NBA can play defense a lot, but what do you do on offense that separates yourself from everyone else? Like, the Thunder's goal now, and this really stood out whenever we had our bench mob out there in the fourth and we clawed back to within, I think, 2 or 3 points. The Thunder and Mark Daigneault and his coaching staff really aren't going to play guys that can only do a couple things on the court, like defend or rebound. That was our old philosophy, you know, like we throw the Andre Robertsons of the world out on the court and just dominate athletically. We don't do that anymore. Like, you have to be able to take a couple dribbles, make the right pass, make the right reads, cut when you know you're supposed to be cutting, and play smart overall, play collected. And Darius Bazley doesn't do that. At least not on a consistent basis, unless his shot is falling. If his shot's falling, kind of seems like everything else tends to fall in place. But he hasn't shown that he can do that right now. He passed open a couple open looks tonight, too, that I wasn't really crazy about. Another little Easter egg. Aaron Wiggins got some minutes, specifically in that last run. 14 total on the night, which I believe is the most he's gotten this season for OKC. He's been spent most of his time with the Blue. Aaron Wiggins, I personally have not seen a lot of him, but kind of a good passer. Like, he made a crucial pass to Kenrich Williams there, that I think Kenrich made the three, and that got us to our closest scoring differential of the night, late in the fourth. I think he only finished with, just 2 assists, but those 2 assists look super nice. So, maybe we'll see a little bit more Aaron Wiggins. Only 2 guys sitting on the Thunder bench didn't get any playing time tonight, and that was Gabby Deck and Isaiah Roby. I am a fan of Isaiah Roby not getting any minutes. I'd rather not. let's go through these comments, make sure I don't miss any questions. I'll start at the very top here. Joseph Dieterman, I know SGA is our guy, but they should really let Giddy do the playmaking more. That's funny. I was thinking that same thing later in this game. Whenever we were coming back, things kind of stalled whenever Shea came back into the game. As much, Shea is our best player, 100%. But tonight was not his night. He was rushing a lot of his shots. He was out of rhythm. I think, yeah, like Shea should have just kind of let the guys that were already in rhythm be in rhythm. JRE was looking good. Giddey was looking good. But a lot of those shots Shea was taking, and they looked tough. Like he would drive and lose the ball or take a step back three early in the shot clock, and it wasn't looking great. Let's see. Poku Shea Dort, we're so close to being a great team. We do play a lot of teams close. We are not nearly as bad as a lot of people said we were going to be. And I think a large part of that are the guys we put out there. They can do a little bit of everything. They're super well coached. I've seen some NBA writers, Matt Moore specifically, say that we are just a collected, like we're an organized bad team. So our guys are in the right spot. They're doing the right things on the basketball court. They're not to just totally bury the Rockets on tonight's show, but the Rockets are putting out lineups where there is no strategy. Like you have Kevin Porter, who did not get drafted to be a point guard as your point guard. You have Jalen Green, an unhappy Christian Wood, and they're not playing their rookies either. So there's no strategy there. They're just throwing guys onto the court and letting go. But OKC has a strategy every time they head onto the court. Everyone knows their role, and I think that's going to make us a respectful tanking team by the time the season's over. I still think we're going to end up around 25 wins. I'd be surprised if we went too far over that, especially with the stretch of games we have coming up. Let me run through those games really quick for you guys so you know. While that's loading, let's see. Bays, we are once again in the Bays phase. Something that I was going to point out, Josh Giddey could have had a triple-double tonight, and honestly on a lot of nights, but a lot of guys on the Thunder can't shoot super well at this point. So Giddey finished with 14 points and 12 rebounds and just 4 assists. I guarantee if I were to look up his potential assists tonight, he would have a triple-double. But the Thunder just shot super poorly from three. As a team, they shot... Yeah, 25% from three as a team. So not great. The big reason OKC stayed in this game were second chance points and fast break points. Milwaukee only had 2 fast break points, and OKC had 11. OKC also had 10 second chance points off offensive boards. Milwaukee just had 5. So kind of filling in the margins there. That's how we stayed in this game. Let's see. Poku Shea Dort. I would love if Josh Giddey made a run for Rookie of the Year. I think some other guys are going to get more hype than him, specifically like an Evan Mobley when he comes back from his wrist injury, or Scotty Barnes. I almost forgot his name. Wanted us to draft him. He's looking super good too. Let's go with this comment from Blaine Buchanan. Giving the defending champs that kind of game without your head coach on the road and all these variables, the Thunder culture has to be the best in the NBA, and it doesn't seem very close. Yeah, I think the Thunder have said before they kind of want to be like the Spurs. And the thing with the Spurs was it doesn't really matter who they put on the floor. You'll see guys like Gary Neal, a Matt Bonner, a Derek White going through the last decade of Spurs basketball. And they've always played a consistent way. Like, it doesn't matter who they're playing. They're always going to give you a hard time no matter who comes in and plays. And tonight we played against the defending champs and played super well, I think. Ty Jerome has been hot. Some people say that Ty Jerome and I look alike. I don't know what you guys think, but let's see. Bays' shooting will get better. It can't get much worse. I totally agree, Rod Gilman. You are absolutely right. His shot doesn't look that bad. I can see the hesitancy when he's about to shoot it, though. It's like you can see the wheels turning in his head like, this might not go in. But I think back to the point on Josh Giddey and how he almost got a triple-double. Once this team has shooting, the amount of open looks they're generating is going to make our offense look so much better. There were stretches of tonight, especially after Shea came in late in the fourth, where it looked just impossible to score because everyone just crowds him, and he's unable to pass anyone else because everyone is able to kind of lay off. Like JRE, respectable shooter, but people aren't really closing out on him at this point. Lou Dort, people still kind of play off of him, and that I saw that happening again. Josh Giddey can't shoot super well himself. His form kind of fluctuates in and out of looking serviceable. Tonight, Definitely didn't look too hot. He kind of hops with a super wide base and lands with his right foot weirdly far in front. So I expect he's super young. So I don't expect that'll be a long-term issue. But once we do get a shooter, whether it be in next year's draft or via a future trade or something like that, I think this team, the offense is going to look really potent all of a sudden. And we're going to wonder why it didn't for so long. Rod Gilman again, can't bench Baze. He is the tank commander. Tank commander Baze, ongoing narrative. I will be keeping track of that as the season goes on. Yeah, it's good to know everybody in the comments is on the same page here with tank commander Baze and generally being optimistic about the team. I'm really glad. I'm glad that we've had the schedule we have had early in this season. It looked like we were going to have a really tough stretch of games, but the Lakers wins are making our record feel a lot better than I think it is. 4-11 definitely would feel quite a bit worse than the 6-9 we're currently at. Fortunate that the Lakers are just kind of in shambles. They lost to Boston tonight by 22 points, and Boston's not great themselves. So, yeah, a couple more things to go over real quick. I do expect that Shea will start to look better. But our guy, Nick Crane, was talking in the Slack as this game went on. And I kind of thought this too, but I don't think Shea is going to make the All-Star team this year, mainly because for two reasons. One, which we said plenty on our preseason shows, Thunder just aren't going to have a good enough record for him to, you know, eclipse some of the other guys that are getting more national attention, like a John Morant. So that's going to be a big obstacle. And two, I think he is going to have some struggles, specifically in this part of the season before the All-Star break, where he's going to be navigating double teams. People are going to trap him a lot when he comes around screens, which is something that every star point guard has had to deal with before. One of the ones I always like to think about was Dame getting shut out against the Pelicans. That was the first time he had really faced a super intense trap. And the next year you could see him kind of attacking things differently. And I think I think Shea's going to just have to navigate through this new NBA. He's always had another guard, another really good guard that can space the floor a little bit to help him out on that end. But he's going to be our number one guy for a long time. So let's see. Yeah, speaking of the Celtics, we do play them tomorrow night. They just got to 500, and it's going to be in Boston. That's good. I think that game could be closer than this one for the majority of it. Like, I don't think we're going to be down by 20 for three quarters against the Celtics. I don't think – I was looking to see if Jaylen Brown would be playing in that game. He didn't play tonight, and honestly, the Celtics haven't been super optimistic about him playing soon. He did have a hamstring injury. Those are tough to rebound from quickly, and I don't expect him to play just on a random – well, I guess if he was going to play, at least he's playing against OKC – on our second night of a back-to-back. Jason Tatum's looking better in his last couple of games. He dropped 37 points tonight on 13 of 26. I was keeping an eye as time expired here on the Orlando-Brooklyn game. I know Orlando's going to be one of the main teams we're kind of looking out for in the standings as the season goes on. Orlando was up on Brooklyn for a significant part of that game, actually. Ended up losing by just two to the Nets. The Pelicans were also up on the Clippers. The Clippers only scored 81 points tonight, and the Pelicans dropped 94 for that victory.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say Boston's victory tonight, like Joseph is saying in the comments, it feels like it's more on the Lakers than it is a Boston victory. Makes sense to me, but yeah, I think we can leave tonight feeling happy about it all. I would say this is a good moral victory. We have a tough road ahead. Honestly, we have Boston, Atlanta, Utah, Washington, and then Houston back to back. So next four games, I think we may win one out of the next four, and you know that'll put us in right alongside all these other teams near the bottom of the standings. And then playing the two games against the Rockets are going to be super interesting. We play them on November 29th and December 1st. Those two games will mean a lot to the final standings. The Rockets are 1-14, which is complete misery. We need to, you know, get closer, at least a little closer to them in the loss column. And I think by the time we get there, we will. But by the time the season ends and you're narrowed down to the three worst records in both conferences, I think those games will end up meaning a lot. So we'll see how that goes. Let me go through and read the comments, make sure I didn't miss any questions. If you guys do have additional questions, feel free to drop them. I'd be happy to answer those. Yes. Yeah. I'm happy we're not the Rockets too. Yeah. Rod Gilman says, as long as we play hard and see flashes from the young guys, I don't care if we lose the next four. I agree. I think if the next four games looked like tonight, I'll be feeling pretty good. I do hope that Shea plays better, and I think he will. Just it's going to be a night-to-night thing for him, figuring it out against different defensive schemes and different defensive matchups. It's pretty tough whenever you have Drew Holiday guarding you all night. That's tough for anybody, and especially a guy like Shea who's just now stepping into this role. So cool. Going through, don't see anything else. Nice. Well, thank you guys for sticking with me tonight on my first post game. I wish my voice was not totally going out on me. That would make this a little bit easier. But thank you guys so much for watching and listening. If you guys are listening later on, feel free to hop on our post game tomorrow night. The Celtics game is at 6:30 Central. And then there'll be a post game following that as well. Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you guys again. And we will see you next time. Adios.